chapter 17, verse 5. Glad you're here today. I'm glad I'm here today. Thank you for praying for me. Thank you for the cards you sent me. Keep praying. Luke 17, 5. I want to preach to you on the thought, roller coaster faith. How many of you ever rode a roller coaster? I'm going to talk to you about roller coaster faith today. Give you a couple examples of it. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. Good to see each one of you today. Jesse, good to see you. Good to see little Jesse. Luke chapter 17, verse 5. And the apostles said, did you see what they're saying? They said unto the Lord, increase our faith. You ever know sometimes our faith is up and down? You got big faith, strong faith. I mean, sometimes we're like a roller coaster. We're going up and down with our faith. I mean, some days we're ready to charge. Other days, man, we don't want to get outside the door. How many know what I'm talking about? Today I want to talk to you about roller coaster faith. Heavenly Father, I'm like those disciples back years ago, over 2,000 years ago, when they said, Lord, increase our faith. I believe myself and everyone with me today would probably say that. Lord, please increase our faith. And Lord, I pray with all my heart that you'd help me be a blessing to the people today. I really believe you put this message in my heart. And Lord, I pray that you help me now bring it to the people in a way that'd be a blessing to them. Lord, may you get glory for all that we say and do, and we'll praise you in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. I don't know about you, but I need God to increase my faith. How about you? I want you to think with me. About a month ago, or a few weeks ago, I was talking to Steve DeSelms over in there. Steve lives in Phoenix, Arizona. And he was talking about something, and I said, Steve, that's a great example about our faith being high and our faith being low. And I said, Steve, it's kind of like a roller coaster, the example he gave to me. I said, it's like sometimes we're way up and sometimes we're way down. I said, that's a real mess. I'm going to put something together on that. I'm going to call it roller coaster. So Stevie DeSelms kind of triggered this by asking me questions. If you ever talk to Steve, you can tell him he triggered it. Roller coaster faith. Did you ever notice sometimes how our faith can be like a Cedar Point roller coaster ride? How many have ever been to Cedar Point? How many have ever rode a roller coaster? I've only rode a few of them because after I rode them, I wouldn't get back on them. I was too afraid. I remember when Rose and I first got married, we went to Cedar Point. One of the things we did on our honeymoon, we went to Cedar Point. We got on that blue streak, and I'm terrified of heights. I can't imagine why I would ever get on that stupid roller coaster. It looked like it was fun, and I was a young. I was just 20 years old. Man, I thought, well, that'd be fun. Boy, that got that Jordan. Me and Rosie got on that roller coaster, and I've told you this story before. Man, kink, 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 kink. I said, oh man, I made a mistake. And I want to say, stop! I want to go back. But I was a married man. Man, how could I chicken out already? I've only been married 2 days. We got to the top, and I could see everything out in Cedar. Oh, my lands. The next thing I know, whoa! Man, I grabbed onto that bar. Those kids, I could kick a, yay! I had my hands on that bar. Ah! They thought I was enjoying it. I almost wet my pants, if I can say that. I was so scared. I was terrified. This is the truth. I'm not preaching right now. You'll get that. I said, Lord, you ever get me off this thing, I'll never get back on again. Yeah. And you know, I kept my promise. I've never went back on that thing again. Matter of fact, I haven't been on any of them. I like the bumper cars. That's my favorite. You can stay on the ground, you can smash people. But you're low to the ground. Amen. But boy, Richard, I remember that Cedar Point where we were up. Then we were down. I thought, oh, then we're up and down. Man, notice. I mean, see if you can stay with me. On that ride, we rode that roller coaster. I remember there were high points and there were low points. How many remember that? There were ups and there were downs. There were highs and lows. There were high peaks and there were low valleys. And then it stopped. I couldn't wait to get off. I'm not kidding you. Ruthie, I'm not lying. I could barely walk. My legs were, and Rosie was too. And Rosie was yelling, she was next to me, Rich! We both were terrified. And if you go back to that fourth cart back, the fourth one from the front, you'll see those fingerprints. They're mine. You know that roller coaster, though, that ride on the roller coaster can be compared to our faith sometimes. Now, see if you can relate to this. Because there are days our faith is high and so great, we are on top of the world, and we can feel nothing can shake us and shake our faith. How many of you ever feel like that? But there are other days when we are in the dark valley of despair and depression and disappointment, we have little faith and little hope that there's anything that can help us in that hour. How many are with me? And in that hour of darkness, we don't see a glimpse of hope for anything. Boy, when I was on that roller coaster, all I could think was, oh, God, please get me off this thing. Please, when's it going to end? You know, when you're going through bad things, you wonder, how long is it going to be till it ends? You know? And you don't see a glimpse of light. You know why I didn't see a glimpse of light when I was on that roller coaster? My eyes were closed. I'm telling you, they were shut. You couldn't have pried them open with a bar, man. Crowbar. Listen, when we go through those dark valleys, it's like we don't see a glimpse of hope for anything. How many of you have ever been depressed and discouraged? When you're in depression, you don't see any hope. You don't see any glimmer of anything, encouragement. The outlook for life are not very positive. How many are with me? No matter what people tell you. How many's relating to this yet? It seems like many times our faith is just like that roller coaster. At one time, our faith is high and elevated. And then the next day, we find ourselves at the lowest point of our faith, down deep in a dark valley. If you've ever been through that, can anyone say amen to that? Now, if you've been through that, I want to say something to you. You're not alone. I've been there. By the way, you ever notice where Pastor Dave and preachers get messages? We experience them ourselves, and then we preach them to you. You say, where do they get those messages? God works on us first, and then we preach to you like it's your fault. Let me give you, though. You say, preacher, is that normal for Christians to have a roller coaster faith? It's not good. But I'm going to tell you, everybody goes through it. Listen, let me give you some examples in the Bible of a couple great men in the Bible. And I could give you more. I just took two for the sake of the time. Who experienced roller coaster faith. And I want you to look at the first man with me. Look at John the Baptist. Old John the Baptist, rugged guy. I mean, came out of the wilderness. This guy was listen. Brian, if there was a rough and ready guy, John the Baptist was rough and ready. Are you with me? Okay, I'm going to read a lot of scriptures. I don't always do that. But for this message today, I'm going to do it. You can either turn with me, which is better if you can, and see the scriptures as I read, or you can sit there and just listen. But if you can turn you'll get more out of it. But look, let's look up John the Baptist. Look at Matthew chapter 3. And I am going to be turning to some scriptures to make a point here. We're talking about roller coaster faith. By the way, even John the Baptist, when he was in the womb of his mother, Elizabeth, he leaped for joy when he heard about Jesus. John the Baptist was 3 months older than Jesus. He was his cousin, by the way. I don't know if you knew that. And look at Matthew chapter 3. Look at verses 1 through 8. Let's read about John the Baptist. I'm going to try to put a little platform here, and then we'll go from there. How many got Matthew 3, 1? In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that spoke by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." And the same John had his raiment. By the way, he didn't go to J.C. Penney or Saks. Look at his suit. The same came his raiment was camel's hair, and girdle about his loins. How many see that? And meat was locust and wild honey. That guy was a wild man. You think I'm wild? Then went out to him Jerusalem. And now Judea, and all the regions around about Jordan, and were baptized. They all came out to him and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when they saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to him, by the way, you see those Pharisees and Sadducees? There was a difference. The Pharisees believed in a resurrection. The Sadducees didn't believe in a resurrection. That's why they were sad, you see. You'll get it. It's a time joke. They came out to him, to his baptism, and said unto them, but look what he said to him, Brian, those rascals. All they had was religion. They didn't have faith in the Savior. Old generation of vipers. You think I'm bad. This guy, Kenny, this guy, he was, man, how'd you like the modern day John the Baptist today, boy? Old generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. He said, you rascals, you better repent of your sins. And so John the Baptist was a straight shooting preacher, powerful preacher, rugged preacher. I mean, wow. I really like this guy, amen? He'd definitely be in those rings that they fight now with the cage in there. He'd probably be in one of those cages fighting. No, I'm just kidding you. That didn't go over too good. Oh, well. Trying to relate to some of the younger kids. Look at John chapter 1. Let's see some more about John the Baptist. Look at John 1:23. He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness." Let me see John 1:23. Look, this is John the Baptist. This is the John the Baptist. The one that baptized Jesus. The one that leaped in his mother's womb when he heard about Christ. Listen, this was the man that God used to prepare the way for Christ. He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord," as the prophet Isaiah, and they which were sent were of the Pharisees, and they asked him, said unto him, "Why baptize thou if thou be not the Christ, nor Elias, nor the prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there standing one among you whom you know not, he it is," talking about Christ, "whose coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latch I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day," look at verse 29, "the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, Behold," and I guarantee he spoke out loud, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Man, boy, what a preacher for God. Amen? I'm saying he's at the high point right now. How many are with me? He's really at the high point. By the way, it says in verse 23, he was a voice for God. How much of a voice were we for Christ last week? How much of a voice will we be for Christ this week? Hello? It says in verse 29, he told the people, behold, he was pointing people to Christ in verse 29. How many people have we pointed to Christ this week? How many people will we point to Christ this week coming? Hello? Now look at, how many say John's pretty excited about Jesus? You can keep reading scriptures and, boy, he's just proclaiming Christ. He's all excited about his Savior. I'd say he's at the top of the roller coaster. Amen? But he got preaching like a fundamental Baptist preacher does, and he got thrown in prison. Someday we will be too, before the Lord comes back. Hope we don't get it, but I look for things to shake up in the future. Now look at John the Baptist in prison and how his faith is challenged. Look at Matthew chapter 11. Look at Matthew chapter 11. And look at verse 2 and 3. Remember now, this is that same great John the Baptist that was proclaiming Christ everywhere he went. Same one said, behold the Lamb of God. Same the one said, his shoe latch I'm not worthy to do. It's the same one said, he's before me. Hello? He's preferred above me. Look at Matthew 11, verse 2. How many have got Matthew 11, verse 2? We're talking about the roller coaster of faith. How many, look up here before, so you got to get this truth I'm going to give you. How many see, before, when the scriptures we read before, was his faith high? I think they were. Yeah, earlier, his faith was high, right? Don't you think he was coasting pretty good? All right, now when John, look at verse 2, he's in prison. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, art thou he that should come? Or do we look for another? Wow! What do you mean? You just baptized him in the Jordan River, proclaim him as the Christ, the Lamb of God, takes away the sins of the world. Boy, what happened, Billy? Hello? Same John the Baptist. Same Christ. Are you thinking with me? Listen to me. This is the low point, probably the lowest point in John the Baptist's life as far as his faith. Look at those words John says. Look at verse 3. Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Brian, he made the bold statement, behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. And now he's saying, go ask him, are you really the real one? Hello? I'll stay with me. I want you to think with me. Jeff, he was in a dark dungeon. He was in a rat-infested, dreary, dark place. By the way, when we're in darkness, it's hard to see light. When we're not having good days, it's hard to say amen. When we're not going through good, when we have a lot of sickness and stuff, it's not exciting. It's hard to get excited about revivals. Hello? Bless God, I get excited. You liar, you do not. You put your shoes on and socks just the same way I do. You know what? Churches are so full of Pharisees and hypocrites. Hello? By the way, we're all hypocrites. But I'll tell you, I'm glad there's a Savior that we can all look to. Listen, in the dark, rat-infested prison, John the Baptist no doubt faced human emotions just like you and I do. Are you with me? Now look what Listen, our emotional state has a lot to do with how we think. Look up here. I want you to hear me. Our emotional state many times has an effect on what we say and what we think. Hello? Look, but look what Jesus did. Look at verses 4 through 11. Look what Jesus says, Brian. Even though John the Baptist was having a bad day, Jesus wasn't. Aren't you glad he's always stable? See, even when I'm not faithful, he's still faithful. Look at verse 4. Jesus answered and said to them, those two disciples that John sent, "Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. The blind receive sight, and the lame walk, and lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear." Wow, holy mackerel. Are you with me? "The dead are raised." Wow, yabba dabba doo. "And the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have the gospel preached to them." Listen, man, he said, go back and tell him what I'm doing. He knows who I am. He's just discouraged and disappointed, like many of us get sometimes when we say things. Hello? I don't care what's going down at the church house. I don't care. I don't feel good. I don't care what's going on. Hello? Come on. I preach faster when you amen, you know. Keep reading. "Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me." And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John. Look what Jesus is saying about John. Even when John has some doubt, he just gets this message of doubt. Look what Jesus says. He didn't say, "Well, that dirty, no good dog, how dare him." No, look what Jesus said. As they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, "What, went ye out into the wilderness to see a reed shaken with the wind? But what, went ye out to see a man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in the king's houses. But what, went ye out to see a prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom is written, behold, I send my messenger." Man, I want to be a messenger for God. How about you? But even the messengers of God, sometimes their message gets a little discouraged, because we're human. "Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy face before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there had not risen a greater than John the Baptist." Woo! Go back and tell Johnny boy that. Hello. Can you imagine when they went back and told him that? Say, how many are still with me? Listen, John didn't lose his salvation and get it back. He always had it. John, and Jesus said in John 20, I'll just quote this, John 10, 27 and 28, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish." I don't know about you, but I'm glad I'm a child of God. There's a lot of days I might not look like I'm a child of God. There might be days I act like I'm a child of God, especially when the Cleveland Browns lose or the Cleveland Indians lose. Hello? John was having difficulty that day, but Jesus wasn't. John didn't have surety, but Jesus had surety. Hello? How many are still with me? Listen, John the Baptist's faith was strengthened. Listen, when they went back and said that to John, what do you think John did? Amen. I knew he was the one. I don't know why I even doubted. How many have ever done that? I can't believe I did that. I know that was Why did I even think that? Am I making sense to anybody? I'm coming right down to earth where everybody lives. Because we're human. You ever do that, Cam? Man, I can't believe I did that. I can't believe I said that. I can't believe I even thought that. Hello? But we do. Listen to this. Don't doubt the faith of John the Baptist. Because his faith was so great, Brother Carl, he was willing to get his head chopped off. He was beheaded for the cause of Christ. You read over Mark chapter 6, verse 27. We're not turning to it right now, 29. He was beheaded. Listen, he had his faith got his head chopped off for Christ. Because he said some things that they didn't like. It takes a lot to stand up and preach the word of God without waver. His preaching got him killed because he was hated because of it. A lot of times you won't be loved, Bobby, when you preach the word of God. Matter of fact, a lot of people don't like when you preach straight. They like soft soapers. They like mamby-pamby way back. You know, they like the kind of guy that, what's that idiot down in Texas? Or Osteen, yeah. They like that Osteen type. You can listen to him all you want. You'll probably die and go to hell if you don't know Christ. Got a great smile, though, don't he? Wish he'd preach on hell sometimes. Wish he'd preach on some things that would concern their faith. See, I like being positive, folks. But having faith in Christ will make you positive. I'm positive I'm going to heaven, not hell. Because I'm saved. Amen? How many can see John the Baptist as a man with a roller coaster faith? I'm talking about John the Baptist. Let's look at one more and I'll let you go home. Let's look at Peter. Real familiar. Look at Matthew chapter 26. Look at Matthew 26, 31 through 35. Matthew chapter 26, verse 31. Do I have that? Look at verse 31. Matthew 26, 31. Jesus said to them, he's talking to his disciples, Brian. How many's all mean? Yeah, everyone. Yuns, y'all. Unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it's written, I will smite the shepherd. Aren't you glad he's a great shepherd? The good shepherd. Our chief shepherd. And the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I'm risen again, I like that. Jesus never had no doubt he was going to come back alive. I will go before you into Galilee. Look what Peter said now. We're talking about roller coaster faith, up and down. Right now he's really up. I like Peter. He was a fisherman. He was a rough, tough guy. And I kind of like that kind of guy. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, verily unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Look what Peter said in verse 35. He rebukes Jesus. Peter said to him, though I should die with thee, yet I will not deny thee. And by the way, they all said it. Likewise also said all the disciples, we'll die for you, Jesus. They're at the top of the roller coaster. They're on a spiritual high. Hello? But boy, did you ever notice about those roller coasters? They don't stay at the top. When they come down, do they come down slow or do they come down fast? Did you ever notice? If we could just keep our faith steady, but it seems like we're pinnacles at the top, and all of a sudden, then the next day, we're down real fast. I mean, we don't make a gradual. Man, we're shooting down like a roller coaster. I mean, they went for, I'm going to die for you. Say, I don't even know him. Hello? How many can see Roller Coaster Faith there? Peter made that statement, I'll die for Christ. Now look at Matthew 51 and 52. Peter's my type of guy. Behold one of them, which were with, you got verse 51, Matthew 26? How many got it? They were with Jesus. He stretched out his hand, drew his sword, struck a servant of the high priest, and smote off his ear. Well, if you study, we're not going to do it, but if you study John 18:10, study Luke 22:50, you'll see that it was the right ear, and the servant's name was Malchus. And Peter grabbed that sword. I'll teach you to mess with my Savior. Hello? Jesus said, put up that sword. Hey, street people, put up that sword. You don't need it no more. Matter of fact, you don't have anything compared to me anyways. And he said, what I'm doing, I've got to do, Peter. Don't even try to stop the plan of God. Well, what gets me, Billy? He reaches down, he picks that kid's ear. He picks that kid's ear up and puts it back on that kid's head. I mean, instant surgery. And no charge. Kid didn't have Blue Cross either. He had Holy Cross, didn't he? That's pretty good. Didn't know that. Jimmy, Kathy, think with me. If we were standing by and let's say, I like Sam. Say Sam cuts this guy's ear off, Sam. Sam, stand up for Jesus. I'll teach you, buddy. You ain't messing with my Savior. And then Jesus reaches down, picks up the guy's ear, puts it back on. I think everybody should be saying, wow. Watch. Jesse, Brother Jesse, if someone cut my ear off and the Lord put it back on, and I bet you all the bleeding stopped too, by the way. I can't say because the scripture wouldn't be... Be surprised he didn't lose a drop of blood. You know, all the blood went back. Are you with me? If I would have been that Malchus that got my ear cut off, I would have been on my knees begging Christ to be my Savior, thanking him. Hello? What I want you to see here, you wonder why Christians have so much trouble in this world? There's powers of darkness. Can you? Right, I mean, I don't think we get this when we read this scripture. Do you really realize how powerful the powers of darkness is? Brian, everybody that was there should have been on their knees saying, oh, God, in the highest. Especially the kid that got his ear cut off and got it put back on. But they didn't. Hello? And you wonder why we have trouble dealing with things in our daily life? The Bible says in Ephesians, we wrestle against principalities and powers of darkness. I'm going to tell you, you don't realize, there's things that you can't see it, but we're fighting a lot of, I'm glad I got a Savior with me. I'm glad I got a Holy Spirit of God within me. Amen? I'm glad Rosie does too, or I'd be dead by now. He's suppressed her from killing me. And Eddie, you too. Hello? Lizzie's saying, you ain't kidding, preacher. Now watch. But Peter, man, pretty cool dude. I'll die for you. Then he cuts this dude's ear off. Come on, man. Come on. Oh. Skywalker. I think that was the kid's name. Now watch. Watch the scriptures though. Did you notice when... But go down now to verse 58. Same chapter. Only about six, seven verses later. Look what happens, Brian. But look at verse 56. Jesus put the ear back, and then they go on. But all this was done that the scriptures and the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Like the three stooges. They were out of there, man. They're gone. Hello? Not one of them stayed around. Wait, just a few verses earlier. Verse 35. We'll die for you. Anyone tries to get you, Jesus, they'll be going over me first. See you, dude. We're out of here. Hello? What happened? I'm going to fight to the end. Did they have faith in Christ? They did, but they turned their backs on him. Look up here. We're all flesh. There's not one good thing about our flesh. How many see that? Peter, he follows afar off in verse 58. Peter followed him afar off. How many see that? You know, did you ever notice when we get away from the Lord, we begin to do things, say things, and think things that we not normally think and do? How many ever see that? Look at Matthew 26, verse 72. Look at verse 72. And again he denied him with an oath, "I do not know the man." And after a while came he and stood there and said to Peter, "Surely thou also," are you with me in verse 73? "For thy speech betrayeth thee." Look at Peter. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, "I know not the man." And immediately the cock, but what I want you to get is this. Over in 34, he was saying, "I'll die for you." 50, he's cutting the guy's ear off. But boy, by the time you get to verse 70, man, it's all gone. I don't know him. And he starts cussing. "You blankety blank, leave me alone. I don't know that guy from Nazareth." Hello? What happened to Peter? Was he really saved? Sure, he was saved. Did he lose his salvation? No. He let his flesh control him. Hello? I'm going to look up. You got to get this. There's highs and lows in the faith when you walk for Christ. I'm not saying we should have them. But I'm gonna tell you right now, in your Christian walk, don't be surprised if you have highs and lows. Peter sure did. Peter's actions were not becoming of his faith. First he's swinging a sword to defend Christ, then he's cussing, denying him. Hello? Are the same person. John the Baptist and Peter are great examples how our faith, when tested and tried, can go one way or the other. Both these men, how many would say both these men had great faith? But both these men were victims of their emotions and of the work of the flesh. Sometimes circumstances affects our emotional state. Let me say that again. Sometimes our circumstances you shouldn't blame them on it, but I'm telling you, sometimes our circumstances affects our emotional state. Sometimes our emotional state can affect how we act in faith. Sometimes our emotional state can affect us how we act in faith. Listen, Jesus all wants us to walk in faith. Matter of fact, it irritates him when we don't. It bothers him when we don't have faith. To do this, though, to walk in faith, we must walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5:16 says, I say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And that's true, but the trouble is, Pastor Dave, we don't always walk in the Spirit. And that's, it's, Brother Jesse, when I get out, when I'm in the Spirit, man, I can do all things for Christ. But boy, when I get in the flesh, Annie, I go down. Am I making sense to anybody? Sometimes we don't act in faith also because of an evil heart. If we let things into our life that shouldn't be in our life, that can cause an evil heart. And that can cause adverse actions for Christ. Hebrews 3:12 says, take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you with an evil heart of unbelief. Hebrews 3:13 says, but exhort one another daily. In other words, we're supposed to encourage one another in the faith. Brother Mike called me up the other day. I went to the doctor about two or three times last week. I think it was whatever day I went to Dr. Ian. I think it was on Tuesday. And Mike called while we were coming out of the doctor's office. He was trying to encourage me on the phone. He said, Kate, can I come over? And he came over to my house around, I don't know, 4 o'clock or so. Spent about an hour with me. Just tried to encourage his pastor. Hello? Because, you know, because every one of us have highs and lows. Now, today I see he's not here. He's not feeling good. Maybe he's having a low day. I need to reach out to him and try to bring him up. See, there's some days that Brother Mike can help me. There's other days I can help Brother Mike. Look up here. We need to help each other. Am I making sense to anybody today? Listen, everyone goes through trials and tribulations. We need to encourage others to help them through these dark days when their faith is low. Christians, listen, we need to walk in faith. Like our faith is like a roller coaster. It's up and down. All the disciples in the Bible had ups and downs. I want you to look at this last, in closing. Look at Mark chapter 16 with me. You say, man, can I be saved? Man, I had these bad thoughts. I messed up. I don't even know if I'm saved. No, if you're saved, you're saved forever. But you're dealing with a fallen nature. You're dealing with what the Bible calls the old man. Deceitful, it's enmity, hatred, worse than hatred against God. The Bible says it's enmity against God. Romans 8, look at that scripture I want to give to you. Trying to find where I told you. Mark 16:14. Now look. Get this, and I'm all done. Here Christ raised from the grave. By the way, look up. Everyone look up here. Did Jesus tell the disciples over and over he was going to raise the third day? Okay, now watch. Look at verse 14. Afterwards he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and he upbraided them with their unbelief. And I'm in verse 14. After he appeared unto them, 11, and sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not which they had seen after he had risen. Brian, they still had doubts, and they saw him. They're having a bad day. I mean, he dies, he raises, he shows them. Then Peter says, I'm going fishing. He's not alive. If those very men that walked with our Savior had the battle, and he was with them. By the way, he's with us also. I haven't seen him with my own eyes yet, but I've seen him with my spiritual eyes. Don't be surprised if you have trouble sometimes. I look at some of the ladies that are some of our widows. And no doubt you miss your husbands. Some days you get sad and the world doesn't seem fair and doesn't seem right. You long for the loved ones that you miss. And you say, boy, God, is this thing really real? Hello? Some of you are going through a lot of sicknesses and some of you are going through a lot of trials. Maybe some of you, financially, you're going through some great challenges and you're saying, dear God, are you really there, God? Hello? Maybe you've been facing a lot of sickness and you say, God, do you know? Yeah, he knows. It's amazing though. He gets out of our sight, and when he gets out of our sight, we lose our faith. Now, we have faith, don't miss. But what I'm saying is, it's not warm like it should be. Am I making sense to anybody? Listen, Jesus, look at verse 14. He appeared and he upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not which they had seen. What more do I got to show you? Hey, Bubba. Hello? Duh. Teenagers. What more? Look up here. Folks, what more does Christ have to do for us sometimes that he hasn't already done? Hello? Which we have seen him after he was risen. And boy, they got all excited again. But you know what? Later in life, I guarantee you, they were on a high there. I guarantee it wasn't long, it was low again. What I'm trying to say is this. You're going to have some roller coaster days in your life of faith. Are you with me? Look at those last two verses, 15 and 16. And he said, and I'm all done. He said to them, go ye into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. Let me see that. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. By the way, the emphasis is not on baptism. The emphasis is on being believing. Well, I want to say something to you. When Christians quit going for Christ, look up here, I'm all done. Here's the whole key to my message. You know the greatest problem of our roller coaster faith? When we have the greatest times of roller coaster faith when we stop reading our Bible, when we quit going to church, when we quit praying, and when we quit witnessing. When you stay active for Christ, you'll have less roller coaster because your faith is active. Inactive faith brings doubt. Thomas said, unless I see it. Oh, Doubting Tom, come here with me. Inactive faith brings doubt. You want to stay off that roller coaster faith? Stay active in the Word. Stay active, staying close to God. Because every one of us, no matter that we're saved or not, we can have doubts. Because some of the greatest people in the Bible, and I gave you two today, John the Baptist and Peter, they doubted. And if they can doubt, you can too. Amen? So, get in God's Word, stay in God's Word, and you'll be more free of doubt, you'll be more free of bad decisions, and you'll be more free of fear, because the Bible says fear hath torment. When you get in his Word, you won't have that torment, because the Bible gives you strength. The Bible says it's a buckler. It's our strength. It's our the joy of the Lord is my strength. Are you with me? We sing that song. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Are you with me? He fills my mouth with laughter. Ha, 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 ha. Look, here's where it's at right here. You watch those people. Where was John the Baptist? He was in the world, a dark dungeon. Where's Peter? He was out fishing. I ain't against fishing. Matter of fact, Rich, Pastor Dave and I talked. Rich, I definitely want to go fishing with you this year. I'm dead dog serious, Rich. Pastor Dave, we talked a week ago. We're going to get a fishing license. We're going to get a hold of you, Rich. There's nothing wrong with going fishing. Matter of fact, I think it'd do preacher good to go fishing. Matter of fact, I'm going to buy a fishing license tomorrow. Rich, you let me know when we're going to go fishing, okay? But you can't go fishing every day. How many are with me? And what happens is this, and I'm all done. We leave the Lord, go off, and then we wonder, why am I getting these bad thoughts? Why am I having these doubts? It's because we leave him.